Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
How are you today?
Doing well.
Okay, so what do we got going on today?
Well, Ben, I'm going to take a little deviation from the tax world today, and there was a case that came up at the estate planning conference a couple weeks ago, and I kind of want to draw our listeners' attention to it. I think it's indicative of several things, and it's just as a kind of a prelude. We'll just get into financial exploitation of the elderly.
Okay.
That's just what this case centers upon today. Mm-hmm. And whether or not there is a duty for a bank or financial institution to take any action relative to potential exploitation of an elderly individual. And so what is financial exploitation, Ben? Well, it's defined under the North Carolina General Statutes as the illegal or improper use of an elderly adult's financial resources for another's profit or pecuniary advantage. Mm-hmm. So that's what financial exploitation is under North Carolina General Statutes. And there's reports that estimate that, you know, greater than 5% of elderly individuals, and that's 65 or over is how they categorize elderly individuals, will be exploited by a family member or a close personal friend.
Mm-hmm. Now, does that become a civil case or is that a criminal case?
Yeah, so that's interesting that you bring that up, Ben, and it can deviate. It can go either way. Mm-hmm. So one way is obviously once an individual has been affected and has been financially exploited, a lot of times Department of Social Services can get involved and it can head down the reporting to a district attorney's office or the police department, and there can be a criminal investigation of an individual for potentially embezzlement or improperly taking funds. That's certainly an avenue it can go. But on the flip side, Ben, you know, money's been lost, and there is a civil component to these type of issues that certainly can be handled through the civil court system to try to obtain recovery for an individual. And one of the big things, Ben, is this doesn't just affect a senior's bank account. Mm-hmm. It affects their entire life. It's an emotional thing. It affects health. It affects the general quality of life. I mean, that's what we see a lot of times, unfortunately, at Harvell & Collins when we're dealing with these types of issues is that the financial strain only is the first level, and that permeates down and affects just an individual's general well-being. Mm-hmm. And it's just such an unfortunate situation.
You know, we talk about sometimes crimes as being crimes of opportunity. And that, you know, people see a person sitting in the front seat of a car and it's unlocked.
Yeah.
And they might steal it. They might not have done so if they didn't see it.
Exactly.
Sometimes this is a case where somebody has maybe a need and they see this person they're caring for has it, and they think that, well, they could just slip it out. Maybe they'll bring it back one day, maybe not.
Exactly.
But so it could start off, even if they'd even asked for it, they might have received it.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's as easy as potentially you see someone taking a few dollars out of a wallet or a purse, you know,
and
then
it a few more, and then
a few more, and then next thing you know, checks are being written fraudulently to certain individuals, and it just kind of spirals out of control. Certainly, and you're right, Ben, it can escalate quickly, and that, you know, kind of brings us to our case today.
Okay.
And you know, I love simple facts, especially for our types of cases.
Okay.
And
we're go back to our case today. So we need our music again here for this. All right. There we go.
And so we asked Judge Ben to put on the robe, and we're going to let you make a decision about whether or not you think, that the plaintiff or the defendant should win this one.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
All right. And so the quick issue is just, you know, whether or not, a bank has a fiduciary duty to deny a depositor access to funds or to report suspicious transactions involving elderly customers, you know, who've shown signs of mental incompetence, but haven't been adjudicated incompetent, haven't had that official guardian appointed for them.
Okay.
So that's generally what our case is today. And it's the case is basically a guardian who was later appointed versus a bank. And basically what happened, Ben, is that Mrs. Kaiser, who's an 81-year-old, had shown some signs of dementia, obviously had not been adjudicated incompetent, and over a two-week period, actually withdrew over $81,000 from her bank account. And it was at the local branch in Henderson. And it was through various means. It was cash withdrawals. It was wire transfers. It was checks payable to various individuals.
So not necessarily in person every time.
So, you know, it, probably over the phone, probably in person. Facts don't state. But certainly I think there is evidence that over a two-week period of time, unusual and suspicious transactions. And in fact, Ben, we get one of the employees at the bank testifying that, you know, she was worried about the suspicious nature of the transactions, but just simply didn't know what to do about it. And so therefore did nothing. And, shortly after these transactions, the defendant's, the plaintiff's daughter basically came forward and had her, had Ms. Kaiser adjudicated incompetent and took complete control of her finances at that point in time. But here she is staring at $81,000 that's missing from her mother's bank account. And she's thinking, what in the world am I supposed to do about this? And she says, I know what we'll do. Contact a lawyer. The lawyer says, well, hey, look, let's, you know, sue the bank. The bank had a duty to report these suspicious transactions that were going on with your mother's account, and therefore they should be liable for the $81,000 that's been missing due to these individuals that were taking advantage of them. Now you may ask, why would you go after the bank? Why would you not go after the individuals that were exploiting Mrs. Kaiser? And I think the short answer is that unfortunately in crimes such as these, you know, the money's gone. It's, you know, it's been spent, and going after those individuals to try to reclaim the funds is sometimes not the best avenue. It may be a little bit better to try to go after someone who we know has some means to pay back those particular funds.
And the bank's insured.
Bank's insured. There you go. You got it, Ben. You hit the nail on the head. So the action's fairly simple. It's, you know, did the bank have a duty to report these transactions, Ben? Do they have a fiduciary duty to report them? And what do you think, just based upon general knowledge that you may have, what do you think the outcome of this case would be? Do you think they would find in favor of the bank and say no duty, or Ms. Kaiser and say the bank did have an affirmative duty?
The testimony of the witness says that she noticed a suspicion but did not know what to do. That doesn't indicate whether or not they actually had a policy about that. If you have a, so I don't know that there's a statute that requires them to report that. If they had a policy about suspicious activity, did they violate their own policy on that? Am I close? Am I getting warm?
You're getting there. You're definitely dancing around it.
So I would say again, that's conditional. If they had a policy, of reporting that their own employees should report suspicious activity, then they are liable for that. If they did not, then I'd say were not.
The Court of Appeals basically looked at it and just said, in this particular regard, we're going to look and see whether a fiduciary relationship exists between the depositor and the bank. And in this particular regard, they say no fiduciary duty exists. It's the relationship of a debtor and a creditor. And, you know, typically when we talk about fiduciary relationships, we're talking about, you know, trustees, we're talking about executors, we're talking about powers of attorney, we're talking about those individuals that sit in a special position. They say the bank does not have that type of relationship with its customers, simply debtor or creditor. Therefore, there's no fiduciary duty, and therefore there is no duty to report. The interesting thing here, Ben, and where I said you were kind of dancing around it is you mentioned the key word there, which is there a statute that could perhaps be on point? And the interesting thing about this particular case is while they didn't find the bank had a duty to report, they mentioned the fact that this was pre a North Carolina general statute that was passed in 2014. These events all took place in 2013. And that particular statute, Ben, is actually 108A115, which requires banks to notify law enforcement when they have reasonable cause to believe that an elderly or disabled person is being financially exploited. And in this particular case, the court ruled that they had no duty because the statute was passed after this particular event transpired. So they were a few months off. This actually got passed in early 2014. The events took place in 2013. No retroactive application. Therefore, bank has no duty. But, and the reason I bring this to our listeners' attention is, that statute's been in place since 2014. If we have any episodes or incidents of financial exploitation of the elderly from this point now in the current regime, and the bank was on similar type notice to what this teller basically said, well, look, I knew that there was something suspicious going on, but I didn't know what to do. Well, now, there I don't think it's a fiduciary duty, you know, under that term, there is a duty under the North Carolina General Statutes.
Statutory duty.
A statutory duty for the banks to report such suspicious activity.
And
now
they
need to
educate their people about
it. And they are. And, you know, I think that's one of the big things. I think banks have taken, you know, or if they're not, they should be. Definitely, you know, educating employees and explain to them. If you see certain transactions occur, you know, you need to, you're on notice at that point in time, and you're going to need to report it to the proper individuals. And those could be Department of Social Services. That could be a trusted individual who the, you know, family basically from that point moving forward. You know, and there's no repercussion for, you know, breach of any, privacy laws, I guess would be the best way to put it, by giving that information, disseminating that information to those individuals who can actually then take action and make sure that the individual who's potentially being exploited, you know, can take care of things.
Again, if you want to find out more about your own tax and situation and your estate planning as well, too, you want to contact the folks at Harvell & Collins, go online to harvellandcollins.com. You can email Andrew specifically, AFoster@harvellandcollins.com. We'll see you next time.